right, now here we're dealing with the New Testament, Feast of Tabernacle, and first message is, we showed how it was the old type, the new, and everybody got their own booth, and that's your individuality. God don't want to change your individuality, and He don't want to change your personality. He just wants to convert your personality, see? All right, so I'm going to read here in Hebrews chapter 6, and I'm going to read verses 19 and 20, and then we're going to head on through here a little bit further. It reads like this, verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. I'll tell you, that soul's got to be anchored, isn't it? Especially in times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Amen. So we have it, don't we, in the Word of God. We have an anchor of the soul. Watch what it says. Both sure and steadfast. In other words, it's sure and it's not going to move. It's steadfast. I like to see something in a person, in a Christian, that's steadfast, that's sure, that you can pretty much know how they're going to act. Now, if I come to church 1 week, and I'm all down and out, and next week I'm all shouting and all that, and next week about act like I'm about halfway mad, well, you folks wouldn't know reckon what kind of mood Ben would be in today, you know. You know? No, it has to be sure and steadfast. Steadfast means on a level like that. It's not up and down, up and down, up and down. Amen. And it's not being one way one time and another way another time. When you go to the Lord, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Tomorrow and forever, isn't He? So that's what we want to... the Bible says He's our example that we should follow in His footsteps, see? And so Him being our example, then we... If there's anybody we need to pattern our life after, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't never be as good as He is. We can't never have as much power as He got. And we can't never be Him. But we can be part of Him, can't we? Amen. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. So He says here, we have an anchor of the soul. Now, I could dwell on that, but if I get too many things involved... But it's important of the soul. The soul is your emotions and all that, you know. The soul is what you develop around you as you grow up. God give you a spirit to live by. See, but you develop your soul as you grow up. Everybody, that's taking on your own nature, your own soul. And see, Jesus Christ, He in the Old Testament, God was without a soul in the sense of development of a soul. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, He came not like angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham and came as a man. And He developed a soul, and Isaiah 53 said He poured out His soul unto death. So that's why on the cross He could cry, my Father, why hast Thou forsaken me? Amen. And that's why He could pray, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. See, He had developed an individual soul, individual personality, amen, and that's what connects us to God. See, the Word says as many, as receive Christ as part of Christ, and it says there that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And we can do that because He became one of us. He became what you are that you could become what He is. Can you say amen? A son of God. Glory to God. A son of God. And we can have the attributes. You know, He said, these things that I do, shall you do, and even more. How many knows He said it? Well, I'm not sure that Jesus ever walked down the street and His shadow overshadowing the sick healed them. But there was a man that did do that. How many knows who it was? Peter. That's right. Peter walked down the street and they brought I guess he didn't have time to pray for everybody or whatever might have been the case, but they just laid the sick on the street. And Peter walked down the street, and the power of God was on him so much that when his shadow touched, they just began to get up. Amen. Praise God. I tell you, that's more of the same thing. Well, other apostles were doing the same thing. Amen. I'll tell you, Jesus Christ, his hand's not short for what he can save or heal. Amen. Sometimes he healed them 10 at a time. Amen. You remember when the 10 lepers come? He just said, be healed, you know, all 10 of them. But there was only, what was it, one of them came back. Only one came back to thank him for it. The rest of them says, hallelujah, I'm healed. I'll go on and do my own thing. But there was one out of the 10 said, I want to go back and thank him and give recognition to the Son of God. So he's our Savior. He came and he was our example. And so that's why he says, we have an anchor of the soul. He had a soul and he showed us how it's done, both sure and steadfast, which enter into that. Now that means the veil. Which enter into that within the veil. And the notice Barbara's song about the high priest was the only one that could go beyond back into the holies of holies. Now I asked Brother Bobby here about badgers. And I up in West Virginia where I was at this last week, I says, what is a badger? Brother Sid Hatfield said, I'll tell you, it's a little creature, and he kind of told me how to look and said it's mean as the devil himself. Amen. So that's what a badger is. And when the tabernacle was made, see, this going to be in the veil. We'll get that in just a moment, show you what it did. The veil for the New Testament, it all happened in Christ. Can you say amen? It was all in Christ. But there, the tabernacle was in three parts. Of course, it had the outer part, and then they had the holiest place, which was a place there where you go in. Beyond the second veil there was shewbread, the candlelights, all that. That represents church. And that was all in badger skin. Now, badger skin represents our old human. See, the outer hull was badger. Now, somebody says a badger. We looked up that word badger, Simon. Some people are called badgers, like corn traders in the Middle East were called badgers because they'd do it. And I've heard on cases, watching court cases, something on TV, and maybe the lawyer would be going at the opposing side pretty heavy, and they say, object, judge, he is badgering my client. Badger means, gouging, you know. It everything of the old fallen human nature must be wrapped up in the badger. Because God used the badger, didn't he? Why didn't he use the goat? Well, that was goat hair he made, but the badger skin. Amen. That was when you walked in there, you see the old badger. See, you're going outward towards, the further you went, the closer to God you got. First veil was the old badger skin. That's the old human nature. It has to be conquered. How many knows it? Then you get in there where the candlelight, the shoe bread, and all that's out, and where the priests, they working there and offering certain sacrifices. Amen. The seven candlesticks, and that's works, see. Oh, praise God. In the seven church ages, it said in every one of them, I know thy works. I know thy works. I know thy works. But remember, when we started this series of teachings and preaching, there was a holy there was a Sabbath to begin this thing. And on the eighth day, there was another holy convocation, see. But between, there was works. And that seven church ages, there was works, works, works all the way through. But the Word of God says here in the book of Hebrews, there that when we enter into His rest, we cease from our own works, see. That's where we got to get to cease from our own work and let Him do the work. Hallelujah. That's why we don't plan and program our services, because we never know what the Lord might want to do. Praise God, because it's Him. He's one doing it. But notice here, He talks about entering in within the veil. Now, the high priest went in behind the veil to offer the sacrifice, and he alone could go. Now, when you got to the holy place, then you went from badger skins to like some kind of a silk curtain like that where the behind there where the high priest went. So, what was that? Fine linen, see? Okay, the priest even had to have fine linen breeches and so on like that, and that's what the bride dressed in, fine linen. But so a lot of time we'll refer to the holy, the Shekinah glory behind the holies of holies without breaking it down. But there was a breakdown of the second veil, the first veil, and then go through the second veil and so on. And that's getting worked. But behind all of that, the final resting place was the holies of holies, and that's where the Ark of the Covenant was at. And that's where there was no natural light, see. As long as you were out here, you had the light of the candlestick. That's why they had through seven church ages, and they worked, worked, worked. I know thy works, 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 I know thy works. See? Amen. But when you get to this, there ain't no works but His. Amen. You rely on Him. You cease from your own works. That's why we ain't trying to have a lot of programs to get a lot of people in, because as many as He has given us, they will come. Amen. How many believe it? And He says, all He said, everyone that come to Me, I will in no wise cast them out. He knows His own predestinate before the world was, name on the Lamb, Book of Life, and you were with Him. Praise God. You can't beat that right there. It just don't get no better than that. Being with Him before the world was. So here He went. That's where He entered in that through the veil. That's where He gives us that. That's where and He made a way for us that we could go and get the same thing He got. See? Now, He goes beyond the veil. Now, let me just go this just a bit here, because I got another point I want to make. I need to get this first. The Ark of the Covenant was there, behind the veil. Well, in the Ark of the Covenant was the law. The mercy seat was a lid of it. But in there was that hidden manna, see. Now, that's what I want to dwell on just a bit here, hidden manna. Now, the manna fell every day for the children of Israel, and they ate it. And if they tried to save it over, it bred worms. And when the sun came up, it just melted away, see. But there was a little jar of hidden manna that God, through Moses, told Aaron to put this in the Ark of the Covenant as a memorial. Amen. That's where the life was at. That's where the eternal life was at. He said, they that overcometh, He would give out the hidden manna. Give them some of that manna that's back there where the Shekinah glory is at. Amen. Now, we look at this Bible here. It's one of the most wonderful books that's ever been written. But just the letter of it, just the outer fringes of it, and just the flesh of the Word, the book of the Word, what we can read with our eyes, amen, it's the tree of knowledge, see? Amen. Just like that manna fell, it was typing the tree of knowledge. They could eat it. It was good to sustain the natural man. But it didn't sustain a one spiritually. Because when they came to Jesus, those Jews did, they said, our father did eat manna in the wilderness. Guess what the answer was? And they're everyone dead. They're everyone dead. That was only to sustain the natural. Now, we've had schools of learning. And we have had preachers, they turn preachers out like a sausage mill turning sausage out. Or a weenie machine turning weenies out. All of them taught the same thing, and amen, the only thing they know is the natural letter of the Word. Amen, the serpent knew that. How many knows it? He came to Eve and said, yea, has God said, thus and thus and thus and so. Amen, and Eve listened, and God said, don't eat that tree of knowledge. Amen, because He wanted to lead us by faith. And that's what people are trying to do today, eat out of the tree of knowledge. Amen. We need to believe God. He's a Spirit. He leads His people by the Spirit. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're sons of God. It ain't as many as know how to quote Scriptures. quoting scripture is good if you know where the hidden manna is. See, that's the spirit of the thing. Amen. That's the tree of life, see. God didn't tell them to eat of the tree of life, and He didn't tell them not to eat of the tree of life. Amen. Because that was a normal, natural thing. It had to do with bringing children into the world according to God's ordained plan. Amen. When they did that, they would have eternal life. But the serpent saw what was about to take place, and he got there and threw the monkey wrench in the cob. Can you say amen? Amen. That's the truth. And then the only thing they had was the tree of knowledge. Now, I want you to watch how God hides this and keep natural man from it. He drove man out of the Garden of Eden. Now, the Garden of Eden, not off the land there. They're still there today. So the land there is still right there. But he drove them from his presence. That Eden was his presence, see. Amen. Lest they should eat of the tree of life and live forever. So therefore God set guards with flaming swords every way to keep the way of the tree of life, see. Amen. Because it had to be activated only by the Lord Himself, see. Because here come a group of carnal people into the world that wasn't part of God's original book of life people. Amen. Which was right straight from Cain, the serpent, and on down through. Amen. It had to be by revelation. Because Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, didn't he? And God had respect. He had revelation. Amen. Now, when they eat that tree of knowledge, they kept the Word to a degree, and they did certain things, and they believed the Word to a certain degree, but it ain't got nothing to do with it. Amen. It has to be quickened by the Spirit of God. He said in 2 Corinthians 3:6, amen, the letter killeth, but it's the Spirit that giveth life. Amen. It's going to take the Spirit of God, the quickening power of God. Hallelujah. He said, you that was once dead in sin, has he? Quickening power of God. You've got to have that, regardless of what you got. You might know this letter from backward, forwards, up and down, and every way. Somebody said, that man is a walking Bible. He ain't got sense enough to get out. He ain't got spiritual sense enough to get in out of the rain when it's raining. Amen? That's right. Praise God, because he don't have the Spirit of God in him. And it's the Spirit that make the Word live. Amen? I'd rather know less about the Word and more about the author of the Word than more about the Word and less about the author of it. Hallelujah. You got to know the author of the Word. Somebody says you don't know your Bible very good. To Brother Brown one time, he said, I may not know the Bible very good, but I know the author of it real well. Woo! Hallelujah. That's the thing about it. Now, there was some hidden manna. It was a message, see. Oh, if you could get it today. Why? This little place here. Oh, it looks small to the outer world and look like nothing. But I tell you, there's where the hidden manna's at. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And you got to go beyond go to the inner veil to get to the hidden manna. That's what gives us life. Amen. Not just the big meetings and having meetings and so on and so forth. Amen. It's that Word that goes right to the soul and quicken that spirit. Amen. To give you eternal life. Okay. I wanted to get down on the matter there. We'll touch it on other services later. But now notice the high priest went back where the manna was at. He's the only one who could go back. Now I want to get verse 26 of chapter 7, still in Hebrew. And here it began to put it in another category for us. Amen. There's a couple of scriptures, a couple of places in the Word of God. It says, you become king. He has made us kings and priests. See? Kings and priests. You're a royal priesthood. And all that, He puts it on us, see. Because He made a way, didn't He? Amen. Now, verse 26 here says, of Hebrews 7, it says, for such a high priest becometh us. Amen. That's enough to stop and preach a sermon on. for such a high priest, that's what you become. Not in your own self, but what you do, you wrap yourself in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Then you enter into the holies of holies. If you try to enter in by your own righteousness, it's as filthy rag. How many will say amen? The very best that you could do in the eyes of God, it would look like filthy rag. In Revelation chapter 5, he looked for someone that go take that book of redemption. Amen. Take the little book. He looked all over heaven. Wasn't nobody could do it. Looked under earth. Nobody could do it. Looked all over the earth. And John began to cry. But here come a bloody lamb. Woo! How many knows who he is? Amen. Jesus. Amen. A bloody lamb walked up. And he took the book, and they began to sing a new song. All heaven broke out in a song. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy because thou was slain and has taken the book and has redeemed us to God out of all nations, kindred, and tongues, and has made us kings and priests unto God. Praise God. So he did it for us. So in order to go in the Holy of Holies, you've got to be a member of his body. And you can't be a member of his body and carry a lot of garbage in with you. Can you say amen? Amen. You've got to leave it out. Besides, when they built those booths over there, they went up to the temple as one man to worship. Amen. They couldn't carry anything in that temple that old booth was made out of. That was all carnal stuff. And a lot of people tried to go in the presence of God with their carnality. Amen. You can't get by them angels with flaming swords. Amen. Only He can take you by. He's the only one can get by. The high priest was the only one who could go back. So the only way you get back, if you're in Him, see. That's why He says, such a high priest becometh us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and made higher than the heaven. Glory to God in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to jump down to verse 8 real quick. Now, we picked this up back there, and this message alone is not all of it. You might want sometimes, when you get some free time, maybe like they're talking about Snow Thursday. Possibly, if it come a good snow or something, and you got some time in home, and get these tapes and start tape one, tape two. It goes in there, get the booths, your individuality, and it brings everything right through. See? But here's another phase of it. Amen. We're getting in the holies of holies, which we haven't dealt with on these yet. But notice, starting in verse 1 of chapter 8 of Hebrews, it says, Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. In other words, this is what I've been trying to say. You know, a lot of people tell you things, they'll go give different illustrations, and finally they'll say, now here's what I'm trying to say. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. So Jesus, through Paul, Paul's writing, he said, this is a sum of what I've been trying to get over to you. He said, we have such a high priest. Woo-wee. How many love him? How many believe we have such a high priest? Glory to God. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heaven, a minister of the sanctuary, and of the true tabernacle. Everybody say true tabernacle. Okay, that don't mean a tent. That don't mean what Moses built. Amen. You may be shocked out of your shoes when you find out what the true tabernacle is. Woo! Amen. It's Jesus of Nazareth, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all that tent and all this stuff that was back through there in the natural, it was only a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, Paul said. Amen. Now watch what he says here. Verse 2 says, a minister of the sanctuary, that's what he, and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Say, amen. Man's got nothing. This is a spiritual environment. Oh, praise the Lord. You're in the true tabernacle this morning. See, this building ain't the tabernacle. It's just a place getting out of the rain, cold, and all that. Amen. Now the heathen summer. He's the true tabernacle. By one Spirit you're baptized into His body, and in Him you live, you move, and you have your being. There's your true tabernacle. Oh, hadabokodoboshanda. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I feel that wheel in the middle of the wheel. Glory to God. All right, let's get this on down. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifice, wherefore it is necessary that this man have somewhat to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. They were still carrying it on, but he went to heaven. Who serve unto examples, that's what all that was, just an example of what Christ is going to do, and shadows of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, that was the tent in the wilderness. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in heaven. Now I want you to watch that. Amen. All of that back there was just getting to cry, getting us into... God is bringing us from the natural into the spiritual. Amen. You've got to be a spiritual being. Now you're going to live in these old carnal houses. Amen. These old carnal houses are going to have a headache, going to have a backache, and going to have a toothache if you don't take care of your teeth. In the mind anyway. Amen. But there's a tabernacle. Amen. There's a plan. There's a spiritual you. I tell you, I've got a perfect body. There's not a thing wrong with me. I'm about 22 years old. Amen. And I got the biggest smile, and I got some of the prettiest, whitest teeth, like pearls. Amen. But I got to go down and get it, see. Amen. It's probably here pretty close around. I don't... Amen. I saw it. I was preaching here one night over here. I come over here, and I was really getting up one, two, you know. I was going. I looked over here, and here I was standing here just to doing the same thing. Amen. God's real, ain't He? See, we're in heavenly places if we could realize it. A lot of people got God way off out there. They got heaven a million light years away. Well, if you believe Paul, and he was the only one in the Bible, no other apostle, no one else ever said it. But Paul talked like we're baptized into Christ. We're part of Him. We're members of His body. Amen. And all that. And he said you're sitting together in heavenly places. He said when you come to God, you came to an innumerable host of angels, and I didn't see a one. Amen. But I came anyway. He said you've come to spirits of just men made perfect. Amen. That's a... Those that have gone on to be with the Lord, you're in the same type of environment they're in. And their time and distance don't matter. It's only dimensional difference. Amen. Praise God. You know, Jesus went up on the mountain there one time. There stood Moses and Elijah talking with Him. Well, they've been dead hundreds of years or maybe thousands of years. Amen. That's according to human time, human calculation. Amen. But I'm supposed, if I go over there today, when I get there, I walk up to Abraham and say, Abraham, when did you get here? He said, I got here this morning. Amen. I got here this morning. Because the time stops. You go into eternity. There's no more days. Amen. That's what I want to get to on the church age. There's no more seven church age days. We've entered into eternity. Amen. I want to read another one of these scriptures here about that tabernacle and all. So it's in the ninth chapter. You can read it all, but I don't want to worry you with that this morning. But let's go to the verse 11 of the ninth chapter. I want to establish this part here. It says like this, but Christ, being come a high priest of the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Now, what is that more perfect tabernacle? It's not one that the... what was that king name that beautified the temple there? Herod, wasn't it? They called it Herod's temple when Jesus came. They'd made one of wood and stone and all that. Amen. Herod wanted to gain favor with the Jews, which he was one of the rulers of Rome. The Roman Emperor put him over the Middle East, Palestine there. So he wanted to gain favor with the Jews, so he gave them gold, and they beautified that temple, and it's called Herod's Temple. It was pretty. They say you could come across them mountains, see it away off as the sun hit it. The temple of the Jews. Well, honey, they might beautify that old natural temple, but I'm telling you, we want to beautify the spiritual temple, don't we? Amen. With the gifts of the Spirit and the power of God and the attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ. With the nine fruits of the Spirit, the nine gifts of the Spirit, with the ministry that God gives. Now, notice what he says here. That of the good things to come, but Christ being come a high priest, of the good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hand, that is to say, not of this building. Now, how many see, has Paul, did Paul, I want to ask you this, did Paul lose his mind and get out into some kind of spiritual, some kind of spiritual something, or did he have the Spirit of God and saw how to convert everything from the natural into the spiritual? I believe he did, don't you? Amen. Therefore, it's spiritual. Amen. He didn't have some kind of a mumble-jumble spiritualism or something or another. Amen. But you know what they thought about him? That old king over there. Brother Bobby, you remember he was over there and he was telling King Agrippa about all these things. You remember what King Agrippa said to him? Paul, thou art mad. He said, much learning does make thee mad. He began to explain these things. And old King Agrippa said, Paul, you've gone... You know what the original there says, Greek? It says crazy. Paul, you have gone crazy. Amen. Well, a lot of times you get preaching on these things that Paul wrote, unless you're in the same spirit Paul was in. Amen. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. This is that hidden manna. You got to go behind the veil to get it. You can't get it out here in the church ages. Amen. Praise God. There's one other place I want to read on this before I get. But notice here, that more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. And then the offering was neither by the blood of bulls and goats. Amen. And then there's one place here where it talks about his body. Well, his body was the temple. But now I want you to notice here, and we got this one the other day, but I want to read it here too. It's chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. Now remember, you're a high priest. He is the one you go into, not a natural temple. You go into him. Amen. Amen. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. And in this year, tabernacle here, the Feast of Tabernacle, Feast of Booths, was the very last one, and that's one the 7th chapter of St. John. And I'll quote this before I read. 7th chapter of St. John. The disciples said, will you go up to Jerusalem? He said, I go not up. I go not up now. You know, because the disciples went on up. And the Bible says it was the Jews' Feast of Tabernacle. Now, it says on the last day of that great feast, starting about 30, St. John 7, 36, 35, 36, along that. I'm not reading. But he stood up and cried with a loud voice on the last day. The first church age, the first leg of his coming, the head of holy convocation, that was the day of Pentecost. Second leg of his coming, Revelation chapter 10, come as a mighty angel, and he cries with a loud voice. He cries with a loud voice on the last day, and he said, he that believeth upon me, what did he say would come out of your belly? He that believeth out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Not a little stream, rivers. Amen. If you believe on Him, you've tapped into an inexhaustible source of the water, which is the Spirit of God. Woo-wee. And that was on the last day after the seven church ages is over. See, the 7 days of the feast, they could work, work all seven church ages. But that last day, He came in Revelation 10, roaring like a lion. Hallelujah. And he have a little book in his hand. He said, go eat this now. That's the hidden manna. That's where the life's at. Amen. It's not, he brings that back. You got to get beyond the veil to get that, see. Oh, hallelujah. I'm wanting to say more here. And I tell you, I've said this will probably be the last one on this one. But maybe we'll just see how it goes. Praise God, because there's not. Here in Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And that's the only way you can enter in. How many knows it? By the blood of Jesus. You say, well, preacher, I had a lady came. She came to get prayed for. And she said, preacher, I'm a good person. I've never done anything much wrong. And I've always been a good person. And I've always tried to do what's right. And I think the Lord be pleased with my life because I've done everything pretty much right. And I'm a good person. That is all right. But that kind of goodness don't weigh on the scales of God. How many knows it? That kind of goodness don't weigh on the scales of God. Not that it ain't good to be a good person. But this, you got to go in by the blood. You got to wrap yourself in His righteousness. Ours is filthy rags, no matter how good it is. The woman at the well, she'd been married 5 times, living, somebody wasn't a husband. But when she met that light, she went beyond the veil. Didn't she do it? Glory to God. She wrapped herself in His righteousness. She said, Lord, I believe. And she ran in, left the old natural water pot and ran into the city, crying, come see a man. Come hear a man that told me everything to ever done. Is not this the Christ? That's what makes the difference. Amen. All right. Notice, having boldness to enter in, he says, that's into the inner, only the high priest could go. It says, by a new and living way, which has concentrated for us through the veil that is His flesh. Now, there's nothing here to talk about the true tabernacle, which He's a true tabernacle, see. But I think we've gone over enough of these to get you to see everything that everything was in Christ, wasn't it? Amen. And it gives us a new and living way. Now, through the 7 church ages, the church fell away. He said, you've fallen from your first love. They fell out in the very earliest time in the Holy Feast of Tabernacles. The first day there was a holy convocation. See? How many knows it? And that is where they had the blessings of God. That's like the early church. The Jews, they went in there, and Ananias and Sapphira went in. And Ananias and Sapphira went in with a little bit of their own self. See, at that time, the church on its own, this never was a commandment of God. But they loved this thing so much, they might have done something that was a bit foolish. But anyway, what they did, they began to sell all their house, bring the money, lay at the feet of the apostle. And Ananias and Sapphira, they owned the big house. And I'm going to say it like this. They brought about $2,500 to Peter and said, here's the money we got for our house. Peter looked at Ananias and said, you sold that house for $2,500? And he didn't say $25. I'm just using this to give us something we can draw something by. He said, yes, I did. And Peter says, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And he fell dead. Ananias, 3 hours later, Peter walked up there and said, Ananias, Sapphira, did y'all really sell that big house for $2,500? Oh, yes, yes. We got a chance to move it and we let it go. Peter said, the feet of them that took your husband out and buried that door, they'll pick you out too. She fell over there and gave up the ghost. You can't go behind that veil with that kind of stuff. You got to be totally honest with God. Amen. How many will say amen? Praise God. They didn't do that very long. But the church fell away and it fell from that first day's blessing of behind the veil. And they re-erected the veil. See, history tells us, amen, when the God sent His thundering and lightning and rent that veil, Brother Doc, you know what they did as soon as they thought the storm, because it got dark and rocks began. They first thing they did, put that veil back up. Amen. That's what denomination is doing today. God send this word with His thundering, His lightning, rip that denominational veil. Amen. That's what's taking place now. People won't put that veil back up. Amen. Mama blown this, so I won't blow to it. Well, honey, let me tell you, Mama lived in the church age. You're not living in the church age. What Mama had is good for her day. But you, amen, we're living in this day and hour. Amen. God's revealed more truth than we're required to walk in. See, there were seven church ages. And I'll get that next week. I won't have time to get to it probably. But see, they worked. I know thy work. I know thy work. I know thy work. And none of that works were acceptable to go back behind the veil with their own works. So God had seven messengers and seven angels. See, that lamb had seven eyes and seven horns, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth. Amen. And seven messengers. And that messenger angel would go behind the veil and give them a little of that hidden manna and bring to them. See, he said, he that overcometh shall eat of the hidden manna. Amen. That was overcomers in every age. But in the last days, he sent a message. The last church age messenger. Amen. Sent a message and ripped that veil, but they quickly re-erected it. And you know what they done? They say, many churches, they get spoken word book. Brother Brown said this and Brother Brown said that. They put that veil up. Amen. But the bride, amen, go back behind the veil where the hidden man is at. Amen. This message today, this message that I've come forth in this little place, I've been asked over and over, how can it be so all over the world and so go all over, and yet it seems like it's hidden. That's the way He ordained it. Amen. Nobody, He hid that manna in the ark. Glory to God, but that is where the life was at. Let me repeat this. I'm repetitious. No other batch of manna, though it fell for 40 years and they ate it every day, no other batch of manna had eternal life in it. Amen. Only that, you know why? It would melt away. It would rot. It would breed worms and all that. But that in the ark that was hidden. Now notice that word hidden. And God specialized in hiding things and then revealing it. See, Paul said, this revealed to me the things that's been hidden from generation and from ages, even from the foundation of the world, is made known to us in this hour. It's just like this. If I had a quarter, 25 cents piece, or something, I hide it somewhere in this carpet here. Put it in there. Well, when we laid the carpet, put it in there. I know exactly where it's at. 25 years later, I can tell you there's a quarter hid here. There's a hidden quarter or a hidden coin. Why, you would tear this whole carpet up if you wanted it bad enough. Amen. But I know where it's hidden because I put it there. Amen. God had some hidden manna and He knew where it was at. He knew where the eternal life at because He put it there. Glory to God. He said He would give us to eat of the hidden manna. And there's a message. Amen. That's going forth. The hidden manna. Glory to God. That will give life. Hallelujah. The good Word of God. The same revelation that Paul had. I'm not going to be able to finish this on this particular thing, but let me tell you how we got to believe today. Paul said, I laid the foundation, another build their own. Brother Hammond's here the other night. He said, Ben, I wonder how we ought to build on Paul's foundation. There was two tape boxes laying on the table, cassette boxes. I took one of them. I said, this is the foundation that Paul laid. And I said, this is the building. It has to fit exactly on the foundation. You can't have this foundation if you got it cockeyed or over on the side. You got to have your weight load right, don't you? Amen. This church has got to be exactly like the one Paul had, with the exception of he was in the east and we're in the west. Glory to God. But God believed the same thing, have the same cry. And if they thought Paul was mad, Brother Bobby, they'd like to think you're mad when you begin to tell them about this good revelation of the Word of God. Amen. Now, mad, that's just a nicer word for crazy. How many knows that so? The original says crazy. Paul, you are crazy. Amen. But he said, no, I'm not crazy. This is what the Lord revealed to me when He struck me off a horse. Struck me down. He didn't say horse, but I assume he was on a horse because he was going in official capacity. I'm pretty sure he weren't walking. And God knocked him down and and told him all about this, and that's what we got today. Do you love him with all your heart? Amen. How many see what the Feast of the Tabernacle was all about? It has the church ages, all that, and the holies of holies. We don't get no further than the holies of holies. We don't get no further than the hidden manna, and that's where we're at now. Praise God. We just eat in. God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just love you and we thank you and we praise you, Lord, and we just glorify you for this opportunity to come in your presence, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We just thank you, Lord. You said you made us sit together in heavenly places. We came to the spirit of just men made perfect. And Lord, you said, amen, we're spiritual beings. He said, you said to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is joy and peace. But Lord, you said you're not carnal, but you're in the Spirit if you walk in the Spirit. Oh, God, just help us now to be that and do that that thou would have us be. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.